Hey everybody, we are back with another episode of the Detour podcast. Today we are recording this remotely for the first time. Even though we are literally two meters away, our houses are 2 meters away from each other, then we are having to record it remotely, and it is very weird. And we tried it the first time, it did not work, so this is the second try. Anyway,
very awkward indeed.
So let's get started with what have you been up to, and as usual, what have you been up to, and how does the next week look for you?
Bro, it's been very crazy all along. I mean, when we have been playing table tennis for at least like 3 months now, but this week was like really, out of all of them, this week was really crazy, because you can feel the impact right at in your house or in your neighborhood nowadays, because so many people are getting affected and everything is happening. And and amidst all of this, I am about to go to Bavalgod back to give my final exams in 10 days or maximum like 2 weeks. So yeah, I might be leaving home in around a week now. So I have been studying a lot this at least a couple of weeks now. And I'm hoping the exams will be like very, you know, handled in a very hygienic manner, or I would say like in a proper social distancing and every following any protocols and everything. But just can't imagine how it would go.
But even the decision for them to call you is crazy. I've been saying that
Yeah, bro. Because like you see these engineering people, they have cancelled their exams, they have promoted them, and they are not even ready to postpone our exams. But I think it is the way it is for medical students.
But I don't understand, why don't they just cancel your exam and just promote you?
Because they can't, bro. You can handle around with bad engineers, you can't handle the country without good doctors, right? I mean, if you give anybody a certificate to access your health or your life, it just isn't ethical, I feel.
That makes sense when you put it that way, but I'm saying make the third year exam harder than the second year.
Maybe. I mean, we work around the basics, right? The second year is like a basic for us. I mean, basic, I would say a building block for us to, you know, re-inculcate our skills on what we do on our patient from third year. I mean, the clinical posting starts from third year. So second year is all about learning the physiology and the other thing. I mean, not obviously physiology is the first year thing, but pharmacology, microbiology, these things.
Yeah, but again, it is better to have doctors. Actually, it is not. I was gonna say it is better to have bad doctors than no doctors at all. Because if you go and attend the college, then there is a very good chance that you'll contract the Rona virus.
Yeah, obviously. But out of 100 of us, one would die. So
great. I don't think that is the best way to approach the situation, but anyway.
Maybe.
But yeah, so even today we had one of our
very close neighbors
contract the virus.
Yep.
And I think the whole family will be positive now.
Isolated. At least they are isolated right now. And yeah, it is like really scary to think about things, right? I mean, 3 months from this virus is around for like what, 7 months now? But when it gets to the house next door, you start feeling like, oh shit, is getting real now.
Yeah, and you start understanding how crazy it would have been for even people who are affected now.
Yeah.
Who are affected in the first wave.
Yep.
Because at least now we have an idea of what to expect.
They didn't even handle it. Yep.
Yeah, they didn't even have that. That would have been so bad.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think if one of the family members gets it, everybody gets it. That's all.
Yeah, and it is not even about you, right? I mean, you and me, we both are kind of like on a healthier or a more, you know, averagely, yeah, safer side, but it is about our family.
Yeah,
I mean, so, and it's crazy expensive, dude. Like the treatment and then the everything other else is like crazy expensive. Yeah. Again.
So,
what I mean, what have you been up to in these weeks?
So I've not been playing football for sure.
Yeah.
That is one thing.
Hansel has been like plastered with a plastered like for around like not like plastered but yeah hairline fracture thing around going around for like what now? 15 days?
So no, let's give them a reference. So people in our society play football, used to play football at least now.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I think around 3 months now.
Yeah.
So they have been playing football every day.
Yep.
And I think 2 months back I started playing with them, and because firstly I like football, and secondly I was craving like
some social
conversation contact with the people, other humans. I started playing and I started enjoying that.
Yep.
And Akash came for the first day, and then he did not smartly come at all to play football because of the COVID. It was very easy to like circulate, what is it called,
yeah,
like
I
give everybody COVID if you want,
because you were in close connection with my like relative, right? I mean, there is one of my mom's friend who got a COVID from her daughter, I mean sorry, his daughter, and that guy died. I mean, that was very scary for me in the beginning. I couldn't imagine that happening with any of my family members or any of the, you know, people in our neighborhood. So I thought like it's just better to sacrifice a few things here and there, maybe.
Yeah, and I obviously did not follow that, and I went and played, and then I twisted my ankle so bad so bad that I could not walk for a month. But luckily, because of this injury, I did not go to play football. And the person who is positive used to come to play football. Akash, you know, Rajveer came yesterday to meet. Day before yesterday to meet us.
No, bro, he's like what, 10 years of age. So maybe the viral load might not be as harsh as it is with the, you know, his dad and his uncle. I mean, grandpa, maybe.
No, he can be a super, what is it called? Spreader.
Super carrier. Like,
super carrier, whatever.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So while like connecting dots now, you think the injury what you sustained was, you know, I would say in a way beneficial for you.
Yeah, it firstly taught a lot of things to me. I don't know, I keep on attaching philosophy to everything I feel. But yeah, I felt that it was because in the first few days I struggled a lot with it because I could not work out, and as it is I had become fat, so I started feeling very down and started getting irritated, started doing unhealthy things, like eating anything I want and eating whenever I want, not sleeping at all, and watching anything I want, wasting time all day.
Yeah, I get it.
So it started like having a bad impact on my head, and I could not just get out of the rut.
Yeah.
Because I did not know what had happened to my leg, and I felt that it was a hairline fracture, but I did not want it to be hairline fracture because I did not want to like walk. So I did not want to be like one of those people who broke their legs when they were playing football.
Football, yeah.
So that was like, it really was haunting me. And then that is why I just decided and went and played football just like that. And then when I came back, my leg was completely numb. I could not feel any of my fingers. I could not feel anything. And it was swollen like shit. And as you know, the when it is, if you have a broken, what is it called, bone, it really aches a lot in the night.
So
my leg started aching like shit in the night. So I called my brother, told him this is the condition, and even if I wanted to get treated, I could not, because if I go to the hospital now, it is very hard to get hold of a doctor first and secondly get a treatment from him.
Right.
So under the able guidance of Akash and my brother, I wrapped my foot with crepe bandage, the sticky crepe bandage for a week. I started taking calcium pills. Basically, firstly, I accepted that this is a broken leg, and you cannot just fix it by not doing anything. I have to work to get better. So I just stuck to it. I decided to wrap my leg. I decided that I'll give it 21 days for it to heal. And I think I'm at around 11-12 days now.
That's
and
the thing.
My foot feels better now. So the wrapping around my foot is off, and the pain is also gone. I think around 10% pain. I still feel only 10% of the pain. And even that at very certain angles and certain times. So in the night I feel a lot.
You know what you should do? You should keep the, you know, the thing immobilized, like your whole leg immobilized for at least like 6 hours or something. You shouldn't move your leg at all, at least especially in the night actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is. Because
when you sleep, you have seen it in movies, right? They stick like a thread or something, or a rope or something to the leg which is fractured. Just because when you sleep, it shouldn't get, mobility, zero mobility. And when you sleep, obviously most of the repairing and healing thing occurs at that part of your day when you sleep.
Yeah. So I don't have to keep my... So I did not twist my ankle. I twisted two of my last fingers.
Yes.
And the part of it, I don't know what it's called.
Tendon, maybe ligament, maybe anything.
Yeah, I pulled a ligament, I think. Anyways, I think I should isolate that, because there's no swelling, there's no pain now. So I think it should be fine, but I'm just not taking any risks now. I'm just gonna wrap it up again.
Yeah, maybe let's try it, like keep it for a week again.
Yeah.
So how has been your like academic part?
So as you guys know, my college has started. I have my college. I'm attending full-time college from India itself, and my timing is from around 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. Yeah.
2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Yeah.
2 hours after midnight. So I used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I thought that was early. Now I have to wake up at 2. So yeah, that is amazing. So it has been really fun. Partly because at 2 o'clock it is very peaceful. There's no what
distractions.
No distractions. It's not very hard to focus. I feel sleepy, but I don't know, after 15 minutes I am awake, and just because I like the subject matter that is being taught, I really enjoy waking up early and attending. Have you also felt this, that when you work on like your homework, like when you do your homework,
which is exciting for you? I have felt 100%. If you are barged onto if you are forced to do something against your will, for example, like study for something which you don't like, just compare it with something that you love or something that you are interested to do, 100% I think, the subject or the part of the work which you are interested in literally just brings out the best out of you. I think so.
I think that is correct, firstly. But secondly, I think that once you start doing what you love, I think you should actually do it. So what happened in my like early engineering days was, I knew that I really liked engineering and electronics and all of that, but I did not work hard at all.
Okay.
So I knew that I was interested in all of this, and I had this knack for like getting to the solution of something without like I saw a lot of people, a lot of my friends struggle with shit, and it was easy for me, and I started liking that, and it became like I got a knack for it, and that is why I started liking this, and then it became into this big thing. But I never ever like worked really hard. So as hard as I am working right now, I don't think so. Mentally especially, I'm really working really hard mentally right now, because these mental models that I am trying to create are supposed to be long lasting firstly. And so coming back to what I was saying was, it is not important, it is just important that you keep working hard rather than just say that this is my passion and this is what I do. It is easy for me.
Do you know, do you have any like certain explanation or the reason you think for that? Because what I think is, academically you don't like the studying, the part, what you know, the subjects, whatever you might have been taught, but the core concept of engineering, you still like it, right?
Yeah.
But you just don't like the mugging up part or the academic part.
Yeah, I don't like that. But, so as Kobe Bryant used to say, you dance in the in a box that you're very comfortable dancing in.
Okay.
You dance the best in a box where you are very comfortable dancing in. So it's very similar to that. So so once you're in that comfortable box, you should start. I try to start dancing, and I did not do that before. I just accepted that I know what I'm going to do in life now, because electronics and robotics is my thing now, and I've seen a lot of people succeed in this, and it is going to be easy, because a lot of people around me did not know what they wanted.
Yeah.
And I felt I was a genius like in between them. And now that I see around, I see how stupid I was then, and so many things have changed and whatnot. So I think that there is a part of me that has learned from it, and I'm happy about that.
Even so, like you, whatever you do right now, it is like, I would say, a sense, you get a sense of attachment to it, because it is you who is doing it, so you feel more responsible, you feel more, you know, I would say, what is the word, attachment, I mean more attached to what you do, because it is your thing, right?
Yeah. I think that you should be attached to everything you do. That is the only way you're going to be creative in it.
You know, I was
so if you're not
tell me.
If you're not attached, so even if you look at Federer playing, he cries so much after he wins or even after he loses. So it is, you can just see how tight wound genius is. So how like how many equations are going on in his head that it is literally making him cry.
And even after so many years of playing.
After almost 30 years of playing, he still cries. That is insane for me. So I think you have to have attachment. If you have attachment, you have ownership. When you have ownership, you are responsible for what happens to it. And when you are responsible, you can be creative.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, I was like listening to another thing, I mean like very random on YouTube, and it was just the same thing on about accountability, right? And it was just like how perfect, how like you see these kind of a lot of these videos on YouTube, right? So basically a guy saying what I would advise my 20-year-old self. Have you got any recommendation like such videos in your YouTube?
So, wait, I did not hear that. I don't like this at all.
See, like if there is a YouTuber, right, for example Casey Neistat, let's take an example of Casey Neistat. So he will come up with a video saying what advice I would give to a 20-year-old self. So this is a very like a common clickbait kind of a video of what YouTubers do, and I was watching one of them. It was like in life advice, and what he says is why we prioritize friends and sometimes more than brothers. Okay, and he says in this, which was very fascinating for me, because when you get really close with like friends, you start calling them bro, right? I mean, like at least nowadays, like bro is like very common word, but since like brother, or like say brother from another mother, what he nowadays like a cliche thing what goes on, right? But he said something which really like opened senses for me. He says even though like your brother, your best friend is more, I would say, inclined for your accountability. I mean, he gives an example, like he says this thing, okay? He says your best friend is more close to you than your own brother. I mean, first of all, I didn't think about it. I'm like, this is bullshit. I mean, obviously, if you have a brother who is like very, I mean, obviously you have your own brother, right, Piyush? But just think about it. Even whoever your best friend is, you are more, I mean, inclined to him because it is you who chose him. Because Piyush is like a brother who you have biologically, right? But you become more accountable to your best friend because you choose him. It was your, I would say, conscious decision that you chose him. So it is more more of an accountable thing that you spend time with your best friend, and it makes, it made a sense to me at least at that point of time.
It makes sense logically, but what I have observed is you are very close, so I think they are on the same tier. I think that there is a different tier for friends, at least for me.
I get it.
I don't know, so what you say makes sense for, makes sense, but for me I feel that I'm really close to my brother because we have spent so much time together, and we have had so much similar experiences,
right,
which make our thought process similar.
Yep, I get it.
So I feel that, but I also get that I am responsible for like a lot of my friends, like them being my friends. And I think that is why I don't have a lot of friends. Because I really don't like a lot of people. So it's not that I don't like, but it's that I am very selective of
what I
want.
Hmm.
And I don't know. And I don't not like to open up a lot, initially at least. Like initially, I do not like to be one of those Instagram people who like shows off their, I don't know,
skills,
a car, the bike, and whatever, whatever. I think I'm exactly opposite to that. I am. So one of the things that I actually liked that I did was, so I was having this huge problem that I have built a few things that I'm really proud of. Okay. But I had no way of showing it to all the world.
Okay.
And that becomes a huge problem, right? And Instagram, Facebook, all of these things solve that problem by just creating a network where all of your friends are there. And then you just show.
Yeah, I get it.
Let's say you have something. So a few days ago, you created, you showed me a few weeks ago. You showed me the denture that you had created, right? So, let's say you wanted to like show that to people and show that, this is my skill. I'm really good at this.
Yeah.
Okay. it is very easy to do it when you're on Instagram or on Facebook or any other network. Right?
100%.
But when you start like hating those networks, and then like you, maybe I'm into technology. That is why I see like through Facebook's lies and Twitter's lies, Twitter's lies, but Facebook's lies that they don't monetize what we like.
Mm-hmm.
Then so I see through that, and I really don't like being on Instagram at all, and it becomes very hard for me to communicate that yeah, this is what I'm good at and this is what I like. Even in LinkedIn, even on LinkedIn it becomes a problem. So I was so struggling with this so much that is there any way of expressing what I am good at, my creative ability and shit. That is why I started learning website development, and then I created my own website. So day before yesterday, I was talking to this person in America who is he's a family friend, and he wants, and he heard that I played tennis. So he was like, yeah, I want to see you play tennis because I want a teacher from my daughter and all of that.
Oh, okay.
So something like that. So I told him like, okay. So even just on the call, what he did was he just Googled Pranjal Deshpande tennis, and my tennis video came up.
Then he just
saw it, and I thought it was incredible. Like it was like such a big win for me.
You know what is more crazy? Because you can't search that thing on Instagram and get the video or get the, you know, appropriate, I would say, video.
You can search
it on Google and you can find it on your website. That is a big thing.
Yeah. And so it gave me this, I don't know, sense of anonymity that I can do it without these big corporations. Like these people trying to sell my data, sell my, I don't know, likes to get money for their own. So I just stepped out of that, and I honestly felt very good.
Yeah, I get
that. So
even though, because like nowadays I'm learning a lot about things, okay, and first of all I would say I've been studying very, I would say, smartly nowadays rather than just studying hard in these 2 weeks at least. And what I found was, in this 6 months, a lot of my study habits have changed. Obviously you are a graduate now. To those who are listening, Pranjal is a graduate and he's like doing his master's now. And have you like felt any difference while studying stuff? Because it has been how many days, like how many months or years you haven't like studied academically, and now you are studying, I mean you are doing your master's now and you have to study. Do you feel any change in a way?
Yeah, I feel a change in which, I feel a change when I see the way I have started studying. Mm. So as you said, yeah, I'm trying to change the way I study. Because what I did before did not make a lot of sense. So even from like, even just when you're kids, right, they don't teach you how to study at all.
Yeah.
And that becomes a huge problem. So for people who are like smart like you, it is very easy for you to pick it up. But it is very hard for like kids who are, I don't know, who are not that inclined to academia or whatever it's called. Very hard for them to understand.
Okay. I mean, think about it, okay? If you are a kid, do you think like I'm smarter than the people who started along with me? I don't think so, because what I think is we all are like born equal, and it is just...
No, I don't think that. But when you grow up, right, you have these preferences. Even when you're like 5 years old, you have these preferences. So, Jim Carrey has this great thing. It says that at the end of your life, you want to be just like your dad, just like 1%. If you could be 1% as good as your dad, you could be great. Like you could be happy, is what he says, and I really resonate to that. And I never saw my dad like studying. he's actually studied a lot, like he has a master's degree and stuff. I did not never see him study, and he is a huge believer in like doing before, like you like know you're everything. You just, doing before you're ready. Just start doing it, start learning things, and
that is the approach
that I had. But the exact opposite was what was fed to me.
Okay, like so you have to prepare before getting to doing any stuff that you know about.
Yeah, and you have to analyze like a billion things. And then check 1% of that is asked, and that I would not know. So always what I saw was, how do I apply this practically? So I'll give an example. Even when I was playing cricket, I was thinking that if I have a very good catching ability, if somebody falls off a building, I'll be able to catch them. So this was like, I was trying to apply this everywhere. I know this is an extreme example.
But yeah, I get it.
This is how like my brain works. And they never tell you how your brain works. They tell you what to do. They ask you to follow. They never ask you to create. And that becomes a huge deal for me. And even till the end of engineering, I did not know the style that I like to study with. Did not know there's a style that existed to study.
Okay. So first of all, I would like ask you, okay, this thing, do you believe in talent?
Not at all.
That's what I was expecting, because there is one quote which I would like to tell you, which is, I think this is from Conor McGregor, and this is the best quote by far which I have heard from Conor McGregor. Okay, so which goes like, even LeBron James had shared this quote on his own Instagram page, which is like, talent does not exist, and we are all born equal, and it is just hard work and smart play which makes you different than others.
Yeah,
and I believe it.
I really believe that. So,
but what I also believe is, there is a lot of conditioning what goes into it. I mean, mental conditioning, because there are so many different, I mean, scenarios, right? Maybe abusive parents, abusive, I would say, neighborhood. Anything can be like toxic relationships. Like, everyone is born and conditioned different, right? We both also, like, obviously we are neighbors from like 5 years, maybe 5 to 6 years, but your childhood was very different than what my childhood would have been, and it just makes a lot of difference in how we are raised, right? Like, not a very, like, on a huge spectrum, not a much larger difference, but yeah, it just makes conditioning very different.
Yeah, I agree. And you cannot copy that conditioning, right? So for example, if you want to become like Sachin Tendulkar, you cannot just do exactly. So I honestly believe that if you want to be like Sachin Tendulkar, exactly like Sachin Tendulkar, so you go back, you should be born where he was born. You should have the same parents, same mentality, same relationship, same everything.
That is
the only and then by the age of 15 or 16, you'll be as talented as him.
That is biologically a bit awkward.
What?
That is biologically a bit impossible now. You understand, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And that is why it is impossible to recreate something. Yeah, it is only possible to create it.
Yeah.
So that is why I feel that you don't, talent does not exist, but the way you educate people, especially kids, is very important.
Yeah,
and it is important. So a few people can take it. A few people who are, there are a lot of personalities in the class, you know. So even in your classes, you must have seen, there's a bully, there's a joker, there is a leader. There is a set of followers. There are teacher favorites. There are academics. The people who are good at academics. There are a lot of feminine dudes. There are a lot of manly women, girls, and like just weird combination that exists characters. Even in our school. You cannot have one system to teach everyone everything. A lot of people respond well to the academic structure that is already present. That is why they thrive in it. So one of my friends scored 102% in her school.
How much? 102?
2 out of 100%.
Including sports scholarship.
That was insane, right?
Yeah.
She was insanely good at studying.
Okay.
She just knew shit every... She knew shit and she knew how to get shit. That became very... how can I tell you? It became easy for her. Life became easy for her in school.
Okay, okay.
Because she was getting the social feedback from the society that yeah, she's smart and she's going to do well and shit.
That is classical conditioning. You know what? There has been like an experiment about whole classic conditioning thing. It is called the Little Albert experiment, which was basically in 1920s. You know about it?
No.
Right, I have like... I will read it out to you, okay? So, a John Hopkins University professor who was like Dr. John Watson and a graduate student wanted to test a learning process for this social conditioning, right? So what they did is, they involved, I mean, social conditioning basically is learning involuntary or say atomic or automatic behaviors by association. I mean, suppose like the example you gave me, that girl who was like associating her, I would say, getting good marks with happiness or a sense of satisfaction or content, she would crave it other time. I mean, if she gets 100% in one test, she would crave getting 100% in the other test as well, right?
Yeah,
so it becomes like a loop for her, which is like, suppose if I have a, you basically get the idea. I won't like exaggerate on it, but still. So what they did was, on a 9-month toddler, they dubbed him Albert, okay? They named the toddler Albert. What they did is, Albert played with white furry objects, right? And at the first time, like, the toddler displayed joy and affection for him, because if you are 9 months old and I gave you a toy to play, obviously you would like feel good about it and you would feel joy and affection for it, right? But over time, as they played with the object, Dr. Watson, what he did was, he would make a loud noise behind the child's head to frighten him. And after numerous trials, what Albert was conditioned to being afraid when he saw white furry objects.
Yeah.
So like basically association. Okay, so this study, what it proved is that humans could be conditioned to enjoy or fear something, which many like psychologists believe would explain why, you know, people have these irrational fears and how they may like have developed early in life. So yeah, basically there is a whole study about it, which was like way before, almost 1920, so almost like 100 years now.
So that is so correct, sir. So that makes sense, like when you think about it, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I really like this concept of like having studies of your brain that eventually make sense, like the results.
Yeah, bro. Psychology.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, so I have been looking into a lot of like, I think I'm one of those nerdy people who likes productivity and like being extremely efficient with their time and shit. Although I'm not, but I really like to watch a lot of videos that tell me that I can be efficient. So I've been using this the app called Notion. So it has become like my second brain now. I like dump all my ideas in there. I organize everything. I even take like class notes there now.
Really?
I take all my project details there. I just download it. Like, it has a PDF reader in itself.
Okay.
So, even like all the PDFs, I mark them. So, it has become incredible. And it has become very easy for me to like churn out a lot of content as early as possible.
Oh, I see.
I thought
it was like a journaling app, right?
So it is a they call it a mixed link. No, it's called a linked database app, note taking app.
Okay.
So basically, okay. There's a lot of things. So it's basically like they give you canvas and they give you a pen to draw anything you want. You can create anything you want out of it, and I think it is massive. So
yeah,
I was so there is this a YouTuber called Ali Abdal.
Mm-hmm.
So
Abdal, yeah.
He really explains all of this very well.
Okay.
So I was listening to one of his videos when he mentioned there is this website called Nest Thoughts, Nest Docs, just missed it.
Okay.
Called so basically what it does is she's a ex-Googler. So Googler is a people who work at Google are called Googler. So it's called Nest Labs.
Okay.
So Nest Labs, she's a neuroscience study. She's doing her neuroscience study at King's College London.
Okay.
She has a lot of collection of this mental model. So you know what mental models are, right?
Like in the sense of
mental models being just mental models.
Like yeah, but like in terms of what mental models
in terms of
things.
Like you let's say so I'll give you an example of my tennis. So let's say I cannot win a certain point. So let's say I'm 40-15 up, and then that point I want to win, but I don't win because I'm having these weird thoughts in my head.
Oh, okay.
So how do you break that? There's a strategic way to break that. That is called a mental model.
Mm-hmm.
So she has these like insanely long mental model explanations. And I've been looking through it, and it is, the website is also so minimalistic, and it is so good that I really like. I've started admiring the way she has put it. So we'll link that in the description.
Nice, man. We'll definitely link it in description. Yeah, sounds nice to me.
It's really so. I like things that. So the way she puts it is. If you work out like physically, then you should work out mentally too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a mental workout.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So it says don't work more, work mindfully.
Okay.
So I really like that.
Yeah.
So there have been now when I see like videos or like websites, all of these are related to productivity. Then I start thinking that everybody is moving towards productivity and this is incredible and all of that. But it's basically like I have been in trying to get involved in all of this, and that is why I am seeing it everywhere. Have you observed this in your life? So you get interested about something, let's say hit workout or something like that, and that is what you see everywhere.
100%. You know how it works. Even like, I will give a very small scale example. If you are if you are trying to tell your parents or convince your parents to buy a new phone, you see more advertisements about phone than you rather see on normal days. Do you know that? I mean, at least that is the most basic example I can give you. Okay, so even on YouTube, man, YouTube is like such a weird place to be sometimes. You see what you are thinking about and just creeps out your mind.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That is.
And nowadays, like, it is so, I mean, you just can't even predict how they are using your data or how they are doing everything. But yeah, just basically getting back to the point when what I was talking to you about, the studying thing, right? So what I experienced is, I don't know if you have experienced or if in general everybody is experiencing this, but what I learned about myself in this 6 months is my attention span for studying has drastically reduced. Okay, so what I mean by that is, first of all, I used to study for 2 hours straight, Bro, I'm not even kidding. I used to go to library, I used to study for 2 hours straight, and then, I mean, at least like going through pages for 2 hours and studying stuff. Okay, and later on I would take like a 10-15 minutes break and then again back to studying for 2 hours. That was my routine. But nowadays I'm like, I can study and focus for at least like 40-45 minutes or until like maximum 1 hour or 1.5 hours. But that is it. I can't focus more than that nowadays. And I think so. It is because so many things we are getting nowadays for like, you know, instantly. For example, instant gratification, what I was talking to you the other day. And I searched it on YouTube and turns out that, yeah, it is a thing. The attention span of average millennial is around 40 seconds. Do you know that? I mean, if you are looking something on the web, your attention span is just 40 seconds. And that was like a, that was like, it didn't make sense, first of all. And then when I researched about it, it did make sense to me. Because you see, you just forward every video, or you keep every YouTube video nowadays at 1.25 or 1.50. And you just make everything scalable. You just make everything accessible, and you just make everything according to you. But when it comes to things like studying, you have to study according to your pace. That you can't like change, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even though that's you want true. To grasp things faster, you just can't grasp it. And there are things that you can control, and then there are things you can't. And it just struck me very hard. Since I have started to study, I mean, yeah, I have noticed and realized this about me in the 6 months.
That is such a great point. There are a couple of things there. So there's a caveat thing that if you say that we are watching like videos faster, does that mean that you're trying to get in a lot more information than you used to? Or does it mean that your attention span has reduced?
No, what I mean is you can basically customize it according to your needs. I mean, if you are seeing any video which is like motivational stuff, you might see it like on the normal speed. But if you are seeing something that is just facts or something that way, you might as well see it. I mean, at least I see it at around 1.2, or I watch it at around 1.5 normally. Yeah, because it makes sense to us nowadays.
Yeah,
but getting with these things in real life, for example, even it goes with datings also. I mean, people nowadays want everything to be quick or instant. In a way, even it goes with dating, right? I mean, you want your partner to invest emotionally and mentally as soon as possible. But these things aren't just, you know, in your hand, and they shouldn't be. For example, studying. Studying is a skill that man has developed, and man has this brain which has evolved for thousands of years. And even human relationships or even friendships are per se. These things require time. And you just can't like fast forward it, I feel.
Yeah, I agree. A few, so I've
exceptions.
Thought about this thing exactly for a long time, you know. So, is it important? So whenever I used to like, I listen to podcasts, right? I put it on like 1.5 speed and 2.0 speed. So, is this right or is this wrong? Is my question. Like always I think about, is this right or is this wrong?
It is relative, I would say.
Exactly. So the thing we spoke in the last podcast, right? Being absolute and being relative.
Yeah,
so this is where I think about. This is where I apply that concept. So when I say you have to, so your goal has to be absolute. Okay. So let's say, so the podcast I listen to is a Joe Rogan podcast. I don't listen to everything, but I listen to a lot of things.
Okay.
I listen to that. I listen to the Amp Hour. The Amp Hour is like an completely electronics based podcast, and it is really nice. I really like it. And I listen to a business podcast called Business Wash. It is also really good.
Okay.
It's very well produced also. and I think Wired UK is one more podcast that I like, and they have this fact section that I really like, that is why I listen to it. So all of these are not random. They're not like just anything. They're related to my goal. So they fall in line with my goal. That is why I don't try to be the perfect listener for the podcast. I want to just get to my goal. That is my absolute goal. I can be relative. I don't have to set a speed, 1.25 is the speed I want to listen to for the whole podcast. If I feel something is interesting, that I go slow or I go fast. I know that is not your point, what you're trying to make, but this is just what I think.
But have you experienced the same thing about in studying while you are studying?
I have traditionally had very bad attention span.
Because I think we are even on the better side, but the millennials, what I see now, my gosh, they are so addicted to, and this don't have attention span and patience at all, man. I mean, attention span is the other thing, but patience is something that is crucial for you. I think so.
Yeah, but I think it's more of age, more about their age, that they are in such a weird age that they don't know how to react to human beings still. I'm not sure, but I think that might be a reason. But yeah, I don't like people who are like that, especially kids these days don't understand shit.
But the things they do.
Yeah.
That is very wrong. So, have you been following up with the news lately? What is going on and everything?
In what sense?
In general sense, bro. Anything you have been hearing on news or something?
Not really. I have not been listening to a lot of news, but I have started listening to, as you mentioned, I have started listening to a lot of Donald Trump news. Because it has become a weird twist that I have now. I just watch a ton of American politics videos for no reason whatsoever. But there is a reason that I am moving to America. That is why maybe I feel that I'm involved with this, but no, that is just wrong, and I don't like that.
Bro, go watch American History, man. Don't watch Donald Trump for.
So I'm also watching American History a lot. It's just weird. I don't like history. I don't know why I'm watching it. Have you been listening to anything interesting?
Yeah, man, I've been listening to so many things. I mean, obviously the good part of the media, because nowadays it is so toxic. I mean listening to news nowadays is just another form of bullshitting yourself into getting into depression, because there are so many things that aren't in your hand, as you said, right? 96 or 97% of the things you hear on news, they just aren't in your hand. You just can't do anything about them,
right? Yeah,
and I feel some of them are really, just makes you a better person, and just makes you a better, I would say, a better man in a way, because it is ideally us who should know everything about what is going around. But even though I feel first of all, the mental issue thing, what people have faced in this quarantine, that is a huge aspect. Also, I mean, the stuff that is legal and that is not legal in India and other countries, right? Weed and everything. Since this, have you been watching the, I mean, I'm sorry to bring this topic again, but the Sushant Singh Rajput's the suicide and everything, it is related to drugs now, okay? And I just can't think, but I just can't resist myself thinking about it. But many of my seniors who I have been very close with, or who I have been known at least, and there are this is the story of every college, okay? Everybody is so, this normalized weed everywhere they have, and
it is such a big or a taboo thing to talk about. I just don't get it. I mean, obviously, I don't consume anything of around of that sort, but it is common when you get into the real world.
I think it is taboo because it is considered a drug that just actually has psychedelic consequences.
Yeah.
But I also agree that there is a lot of weed consumption, I think, everywhere.
In every country.
It has become like, I don't know, it has become cool almost to be that.
I get it.
And I think rather than being taboo, it is more, it is more uncultural of you to talk about drugs or weed.
Yeah, at least in
or even like sex for that matter. So it becomes, so it makes sense to me in one sense. It makes sense to me when you are in a family setting, family situation. Yeah, I understand that. But when you are in public and having actual conversation, I think it has to come out and you have to understand
all be vocal about it. And even though, bro, like, think about it, okay, this prostitution, getting it legal or like keeping it legal or making it illegal, what do you think about it?
I have not come across a lot of people who do that. I have not come across a lot of people who, like, I have heard a lot of stories, but I know there is a lot of say, and a lot of people try to put words in the other's mouth. Especially people, like, prostitution is kind of a profession in which it is not being talked about a lot, because that is the kind of profession it is. You don't want everybody to talk about it.
So
when people don't talk about it, they go, like, they become an undercurrent.
Okay.
And even if they are treated very badly, you don't know. Even if they are treated very well, that too you don't know. Because the things that come out are very biased. Biased in the sense that they become almost easy for the media to, like, manipulate and publish just to get a lot of hits.
But, like, what do you think about it? I mean, you know, this. Do you think it is associated with the number of rapes that are happening in the country in any way, or even the porn industry for that matter?
I don't know if it is related, but I heard you say that a lot. But it makes sense to me that it can be related. There are a few thoughts that make me think that, yeah, that is possible. But it's not very, so 1+1=2. It's not that easy.
Yeah, and at least for both of us, it is like not at all even. We don't know at least like 10% of it also, but still.
Yeah, so you don't feel any of that. You don't, so I think, so I'll give you an example, okay? If you're talking about a prostitute or a porn actor or anything of that sort, I think you should talk to somebody who has been there, who has done that.
Okay.
And that will be one opinion. Okay, of what the actual scenario is. I think once you get a good quantity of people in that scenario, then you'll understand what the scenario is exactly. Okay, that is the core concept of journalism. The journalist's job is to do this, to get in contact with people who are actually there, and then give an unbiased opinion about what has happened actually. But this does not happen, and I don't think taking decisions without their consent, or taking action, or even taking or even making our minds up about something is right from at least from my point of view.
Yep.
So what do you think?
You know how Joe Rogan says about like these things? I mean, he was obviously talking about weed, but he refers to this study, okay? I mean, it's not a study, but it's, I would say, a technique, or it's a way around it. Is like, if you see about the prostitution scenario, there is no party on the both parties, there is no one who is getting harmed in any way. I mean, harmed in sense of, I would say, mental or physical in that way, because it is a kind of occupation for them, and even for the consumer and for the, you know, the I don't know, maybe the prostitution racket or whatever it is. So I don't think it should be illegal in a way, but I also think that there are many things that are, you know, forced, or there are rackets what you get to hear from news and everywhere, that girls or some like people who don't want to be in that profession are dragged into it, and that is where the sad story or the dark side of the story begins, which I do not like at all, because we hear about Jeffrey Epstein and Glenn Maxwell and his girlfriend being these pedophiles and everything, and we just creep out a lot, and that is American media. What stuff happens in India, that is so much more, I would say, scary in a way.
Yeah.
Because people are more here, like it is overpopulated already, and there is like so much less value for humans, and these sex traffickers, drug traffickers, they're like, oh my god, the story and the news that you get to hear about these things, that is just very absurd and very horrifying.
I agree, and I think we should bring somebody on the podcast that actually knows about this.
Yeah, man, yeah, and, yeah.
And that will make a lot of sense to all of a lot of us. Even it will clear a lot of things for us too.
Yep, we'll try to bring any like some people on podcast like who are, I would say, they know a lot about their own niche.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So what I wanted to conclude with is, I wanted to share what so the conditions that we are in actually right like now is very weird. This weird pandemic that has come across, and like all these things that are happening in nature. So I see that there are like 4 like tornadoes moving towards America right now.
Yeah.
So that is going to be horrific. So
more than tornadoes, bro, I would say, did you hear about these bushfires and wildfires going on? I mean, yeah. I saw a few posts and I was like so shocked. But anyway.
Horrible. These natural things are happening because of the climatic change, I think.
Maybe not. I mean, these natural calamities what we are facing nowadays. For example, bushfires, right? Bushfires are kind of coincidental and sometimes man-made too. But the climate change in a larger picture, what you see is the did you hear about this news, like almost 180 square kilometer of ice, that this block of ice which fell into, I don't know, the ocean, Antarctic or Arctic maybe, but either of these two, I mean Antarctic or Arctic, just 180 square kilometers of piece of iceberg, bro, can you imagine? because of global warming, obviously.
Yeah, even these bushfires, right? So the temperature for these trees, how does a bushfire start? Is basically 2 trees rub against each other.
Yeah, friction.
And all of that.
Yeah.
If the natural heat is less, let's say it's around 12 degrees, it takes a lot of friction for the temperature to build up. But because the temperature has already gone up, it is very easy for the trees to start fire on their own.
No, bro, actually it depends upon the type of forest it is. Like there are rainforest, there are mangrove forest, there are forests that are in Africa, and there are forests that are in temperate zones. Like for example, let's say India, the forests that are in South India are very different than the forests that are in, I would say, UP or Bihar, right?
Yeah.
Forests in so Kerala and South America. Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is, it is very easy to like for the fires to start and the rain to come and like take out those fires. The equation was set for the longest time, and that is why we did not have these massive like fires for like 7 days or 8 days.
100%,
100%. So this equation is being like tampered with, and that is the problem I see.
100%, 100%.
So we are living in the strangest times in the last 100 years, I think. Yeah. I don't know. It is true because World War II and World War I come very close to all of this.
Hmm.
Because there was a lot of misery all around.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But it feels very, like, doomsday-ish. That, how can this, like, how can we get through this?
Yeah, I get it. But
from all of this, so the nicest people I have met have come from this pandemic. The kindest acts that have seen have come through this pandemic.
Okay, so like
we have a collective enemy now that we are fighting against.
Yeah. And people getting united for the same cause.
Yeah, they are getting united, and there is a lot of differences in people themselves. But when they're facing something such so big, and the only ways to unite is when they unite.
Yeah.
And when they unite, I think anything is possible.
Yeah.
So, I think I really hope that we get through all of this. But there has to be a documentation of exactly like how these conditions
things
were.
Are happening. Yeah.
And how bad they were. So let's say in 2 years you have to explain somebody how was it to live in a global pandemic. You should be able to explain it, right?
Maybe not 2 years, but 50 years, yeah. I hope this is the first and the last pandemic in our lifetime.
Yeah,
I hope so.
But I'm trying to explain that we have to learn from this.
We have to learn
so many things. So we see that our system is broken in so many ways. It is broken environmentally, it is broken politically, it is broken like systematically also.
Politically.
So, there are so many things that is broken. But we have to work on that, making sure that we are really strong at the things we are actually good at, because let's take being connected with each other. It has grown even stronger now.
Yeah. I feel
even being away from each other. Medicine, telemedicine has become humongous. And I don't know what it is called. It is, let's say, working on yourself. There has never been a better time to work on yourself than this pandemic.
Yeah.
So, people are finding out new things about themselves every day. And I think that is massive for us.
You know what? It is not like people, but at least we both have surrounded ourselves with people of that kind. But there are like stories about people who are getting depressed and who just aren't finding, you know, the path or something. There are like a lot of people like that too.
I understand.
Because
I think that is the learning for them, right? I cannot speak for them. But I feel that there is a learning that we can take out of this.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Maybe, bro, but what I think is it is better to surround yourself with people, first of all. I mean, people who, because there are hard days, and hard days we all have. No matter how strong mental you are or how strong mentally I am, I mean, if you are surrounded with people of your same, I would say, motive or positivity or optimism, Yeah, so just, they can help you a lot of times, not like directly. They won't motivate you or give you pep talks, but just being around with them, maybe playing with them, or maybe like just talking with them, just boosts your, you know, optimism or positivity for a day.
Yeah,
being with your family.
That's so true.
Yeah,
you have to, like, you need like people around because we are social animals.
Yeah.
We need people around.
Yeah, man.
And I think that has grown a lot. So you have become closer to people who are actually closer to you. And you start, so I have started missing like people who I was very like close to, like my friends from Pune. Pune. I've been missing them so much. I've been thinking about like, what do we do after like we meet again? Do we go to a coffee,
plans.
Cafe? Yeah, no, I feel very happy when I think about them.
Mm-hmm.
So in our podcast, like it was called Happiness, I think in January we released it.
Okay.
In that we discussed about how hard it is to get to be where we were.
Mm.
So even to just for you to go to a restaurant, there are so many things that have to go right for you to go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
So the first thing you have to feel that you have to go to the restaurant firstly. Secondly, you should have the means, that is the resources, that is you should have the money, you should have the bike to get there. You should be in a city where there are restaurants around.
Yeah.
And then you should be in that society where like you should have the status quo to go to that restaurant, right?
Where creepy people don't come around.
Yeah. So you want to be like surrounded with people who are as good as you or better than you.
At least
how they are looking. So and then in the restaurant side, you have to like intentionally decide that cooking food for others is what I'm going to do for this certain time.
Yeah,
that is all I'm going to do, and then I'm just hoping that a lot of people come in and have food at my place.
Oh, yes.
And just take risk and start that restaurant, and then you'll come across, you have to like know about him starting a restaurant, then you'll come and have food there.
Yep.
There's so many like aspects to it, right? Just to go to a restaurant, and even that we can do it on choice.
Yeah.
Like one day we have to, if we want to go, we go. The next day we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So there are like so many nuances to that, and we take it for granted because it just used to work. Nobody like asks question like, how is this insane mechanism working? It just works. And that made a lot of sense to a lot of people, and they could see it working. So it just worked, and now we are understanding how important it was. So going to a cafe was not just important because we could have good coffee, but it was important because we could be around people similar to us.
Yep.
Wow. So yeah.
We took it for so granted.
Yeah.
Obviously, now we are like very grateful for it now.
Exactly. So I think it is a very good point to end this podcast.
Yep.
And I think it was, we have not done this for a long time now. It was a good
detox. Detox.
Yeah.
Ending it up on like, how did you feel the coffee was the other day? The one I gave you?
The coffee was actually, it was really good. It was a Dutch coffee that he gave me. We'll link that in the description too. It was a Dutch coffee that he gave, and it was really nice. I just added water, hot water, then it was really nice. So I've also got new coffee. I'll give it to you tomorrow.
Didn't you add sugar and milk?
No, I did not. It was,
bro, sugar was necessary for it.
No, it was very sweet as it is.
Really? You liked it? Okay.
Yeah.
Glad.
Okay then. Okay. Yeah. I hope you guys see you guys soon.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.